Hey, what's going on, everyone? M-Tash here, and the juicy Gamer Boys, True Vanguard, and Cacus, Call Me Daddy HD. Isn't that your nickname? I thought it was your nickname.
Oh,
I'll tell you. Oh, no, Cacus. Hey, I don't have my passport, HD. Listen.
Yo, shut up.
No, I'm calling you. I got to, listen. He messages in the vacation.
Do you want me to just tell the story? Do you want me to just tell the story?
No. I'm going to tell it from my perspective.
Okay.
I'm so excited. I'm going on a beautiful vacation. I'm going to Hawaii. He said specifically, we could even hold hands while snorkeling. I'm looking forward to that. Like, beyond excited. He then DMs in the group and says, oh, by the way, yeah, so I was supposed to have my renewed passport, and I don't have it. It's not in my hands. So we leave Monday. We leave Monday. Yeah. I'm stressed.
You think you're stressed? You think you're stressed? Dude, how I feel, I'm like, we're thinking, where's my passport? Like, it's supposed to come in by now. I'm like, messaged my wife. I'm like, did you check the mail recently? She's like, not for like a month. I was like, ooh. So I'm like, wait a minute.
You haven't checked your mail in a month?
Apparently not, dude. She has the only key, so she's gone out of the house, getting her hair done. I can't check the mail, so I'm stressing all day. And then finally goes, it's not here. Call the passport people. They're like, yeah, it's on the... We mailed it. So this is the crazy part. I went in to get my passport renewed on, like, what's it called? November. They're like, yeah, it's going to arrive January 2nd. You have to fill in when you're supposed to travel. So I fill in. Like, this Monday, upcoming Monday, and then not here. They put it in the mail January 18th, or no, 17th, so a couple days ago. So they know, on the document it says, I am traveling, I need my passport by January 24th. They put it in the mail the 17th. They're like, good luck, stupid. So it's going to be here in 1 to 3 business days. One business day, that's tomorrow, we're fine. Two business days is Friday, we're good. Three business days, I am screwed, I'm not going. So, 40% personal income tax, by the way, in Canada. Thank you, that's where my money's going for this absolute clown show to mail my passport the last possible day. The margins have never been thinner, bro. I'm like, oh my god, dude. So I am a bundle of stress. Like, oh, I can't even, this is crazy, dude.
Luckily, we don't have too much stress because we've got so many great topics today. Ninja and Pokimane, Troy Baker's NFT blowing up, Destiny drama, which is always great. We love Destiny drama. The Genshin community imploding as well. Love that.
More drama, baby.
I love that. But the big one that, I mean, I think this changes gaming forever. Microsoft buys Activision Blizzard. Let's talk about that one right off the hop. Let's get into the juicy gamer info.
First of all, what was the price tag? What'd they pay?
68.7, aka 69.
Right.
$1 billion.
That's crazy. Because we were just joking about, well, I mean, Zynga or whatever was like 13 billion, but we're like, well, that doesn't have any
14.
Games. Right? But yeah. This is almost $70 billion. And dude, here's the other thing, too, is like Bethesda, wasn't it only like...
How? That was like 16? 6 or 7 billion. I was going to say.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
dude, Bethesda was like the bargain of the century, bro. I feel like we could have done a crowdfunder. We could have bought Bethesda. Like, this is 7 billion right? Is a steal. Like, I can't even believe that. Like, the people who, they own the Elder Scrolls IP, that's huge. The Fallout IP, huge. 7 billion?
Do you know what I'm wondering though? Is that getting as much long-term microtransaction monetization as Zynga and their casinos, or even like Call of Duty? Like Call of Duty, Overwatch, tons of microtransactions and value right there. Like, I don't know. There's a lot here. We're gonna have to like, go through this all, but.
Well, here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. Actually, I'm going to call you on it. You're like, well, as opposed to Zynga and their casino game?
Yeah.
Have you seen... I was going to say FIFA, but have you seen some of these Activision games, bro, with the loot boxes? It's the same thing. It's another... It's gambling, yeah. Gambling simulator.
A little bit. No, what I mean, though, is like, is Fallout... You know, is Fallout making money from microtransactions... the way Zynga is. No, it isn't. Well, they isn't. Certainly... It's like, you're going to sell a ton of Skyrim, don't get me wrong. But, like, my boy with, you know, Candy Crush, or what is it, Farmville 7? Like, you that there's a bunch of mamas in Ohio that are like, I got to get my potato. I got to get them. I got to get those $1 seeds.
Dude, but this is pretty wild, and... The interesting part is like, okay, so they bought it for $69 billion, and they bought it in the midst of controversy, right? Like, what have you been hearing about Activision Blizzard? Only non-stop bad stuff, right? And then, so now you're thinking, well, I wonder, like, if they jumped on this when they heard of this news, like, I really wonder, like, would they be able to have bought this if it was before, but let's say the day before all this came out, maybe it was, would have been $80 billion or $85 billion, and now they get it for $69 billion, so maybe they're able to jump in this opportunity.
And like, I guess the big thing, it depends on timelines and how quickly they make this offer, but how quickly they accept it. And it's like, when you're offering $70 billion, you would think, well, that's got to probably take months to years to negotiate. But at the same time, if they were doing these negotiations back in February 12th, 2021, stock price, $103 for Activision Blizzard, right? And it was around 90 all the way through March. Into May, $100. June started sliding. In August, down to 82, kept on sliding. And then it kind of leveled out around 70, 75. So maybe they're negotiating there. But then it tanked with all the allegations, down to 66 in November, and a low of 56.
We should have bought at 56, Tash.
Should have bought at 56, right? That's right.
It tanked all the way down. So it's like, if they're offering to buy the company, it's like, well, your share price is half of what it was. So we're not paying that. We're not paying you $140 billion. We're going to pay you $70. I don't know how that works. I don't know when they did it.
I wonder,
but,
man.
But didn't Phil Spencer just say, hey, we're going to rethink... Our relationship with Activision Blizzard. We're going to buy them.
They got kept on so hard for that. People were like, that aged well, because that's so funny. Like, did they know then? Did he know then?
I don't know.
When he said, we're reevaluating our relationship with Activision. We'll buy them, baby.
Yeah, it's so wild. I'm sure they're like in negotiations. Or who knows? Maybe it's like, how happened in a day? You know what's interesting is the other conspiracy theory. Everyone put on your tinfoil hats for this one, boys. Okay, so tinfoil hats are on. We have been on this podcast and expressed shock. Like, how is Bobby Kotick, the leader or the CEO of Activision, not out of there, right? Because all these allegations came out. He was at the center of them. And all these people were like, dude, like, get rid of this guy. And then the board was like, we stand by him. And we were like, why? Any other company would be like, you're out of here. Like, any other company would replace a CEO like that. Like, you're done. You're out of here. We got to preserve our image. It's what's right for the shareholders, right? But they didn't this time. And I wonder if Bobby knew, boys, they're looking to buy. And so if I hold on.
We can
hold
cash on just out of here, okay.
A couple more months, we're all going to be rich, because apparently Bobby is getting a $270 million payout. $270 million. Now, that's a nice chunk of change. And I guarantee those other board members are getting a little something-something as well. And if any of those guys hold stock, that stock is going to go up, I imagine, with this acquisition.
Sure.
And so, like, you wonder, like, if all this craziness, and everyone was like, why wouldn't they get rid of Bobby? I can't believe Bobby's still there. Was it just to hold out for this? And then, now he's still going to leave. They actually did release a statement that said, this is over, when this goes through, Bobby's gone, right? He's out of there. So, but now he's out of there with $270 million, you know what I'm saying?
You can fire me for $270
mil. Yeah.
But he would have got severance if Activision dropped him anyways, too. Like,
but not 270, I don't think.
No, probably. it would have been a tenth of that, I think.
I mean, the other thing, too, I guess, is did they keep him on because they're like, honestly, we hate you, but we don't want to get a new CEO in, buy them, and then you're transitioning to them, then you're transitioning to us. Does it make more sense? Bobby, you can take the reins. We'll pay you out. Just make this transfer happen and then get the hell out of here. And then get the hell out of my life.
Our guy, we have the Xbox selected guy, and we put him in charge.
Right.
Say, this is the guy. You're in charge now. Wild. Just really wild stuff. And it kind of adds, it just interestingly adds a new dimension to all of this crazy Activision stuff with Bobby not leaving, right? Is like, now you think, like, was this, how long have they been negotiating this? Was this involved?
Yeah. Here's the other side of that conversation is not just that it happened, but also, what does that mean for gaming? What does that mean for the gaming sphere? Are we going to get Overwatch 2? Is that actually going to happen? What's the timeline with Diablo? Are COD releases going to continue to be annual releases, or are they going to be biannual? What does this mean?
Yes, yes. You know what's so funny, though, is the community reaction has been generally positive, because Activision has been such a crap hole. Not only, like, a lot of people think running down certain brands, like people will point to Call of Duty as a good example, as like deteriorating over time in the quality, but also these allegations and stuff. I think people are, from what I've seen, happy that the corporate overloads at Microsoft is gonna come in, because someone's gonna have to come in. So I'm the guy from Microsoft. I'm the guy from Microsoft coming in to the where they make Diablo 4 for the first time. I go, all right, what the hell have you guys been doing for the last 10 years, right?
Getting harassed.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's going to be like, yeah, when we weren't in the Cosby suite, we were like working on some animations for 5 years. He's going to go, you guys have been doing nothing. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to crap on the Diablo 4 dev team or anything like that, because maybe they've been hard to work. But it is like, how are these Blizzard games in perpetual development for like years and years and years? And it just kind of like, and then sometimes the product that comes out, like Diablo 3 at launch, was quite a disappointment and stuff like that. So I think it might be good for Activision to get a little bit of accountability in there with Microsoft being like, what's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
Do you think that, so obviously they had their drama, but, you know, obviously COVID has also delayed a lot of games and the production.
Of course, yeah.
Do you think that, like, honestly, they're getting a good deal here? Because they're coming in and it's like, Overwatch will happen. It's gonna be a while, but like, we have our Call of Duty revenue. We know Diablo will eventually be a hit. I'm sure World of Warcraft, like, I'm sure they'll, you know, bring out a big DLC eventually, but are they getting a good deal here at like the long-term value?
Well, here's the I don't want to monopolize this conversation, but I will say, like, you gotta look at it through the guise of what I think is the clear goal of Microsoft: Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. They're almost like Netflix is like, we want all the exclusive content. It is the Netflix of gaming. Like,
yeah,
it is now at a point. It was already at the point where it's like, if you don't have Game Pass, you're probably,
what are you doing?
Right. It's almost like you're getting a bad deal if you're not using it. Like, the majority of games are on there, like a very good portion of games. Now it's to the point where it's like, you don't have Game Pass, you Neanderthal, like, are you living in the past? Like, are you playing
my
Pong?
My father-in-law has Game Pass, right?
Right, what are you playing, Pong on your phone? I don't know. It's crazy. Call of Duty on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Overwatch on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Fucking Diablo on Game Pass. Oh, you want to play World of Warcraft membership on Game Pass? Shut up.
That's right.
There's no way, but maybe. Because I will tell you what, I will never play World of Warcraft. But if my membership is
free,
Game Pass, I will try World of Warcraft.
Sure,
I will
100%.
Like, I'll create an account, but
dude, 100%.
I'm not gonna go do it now. So there's a lot of options here.
A lot of people were. I saw this very commonly in this whole discussion this week. A lot of people were raising concerns, like, is Microsoft? Are we starting to see the beginnings of a monopoly here in the world?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Someone released.
I don't think so either.
Well, hold on.
Because
it's
not like an internet provider. It's like, oh, there's only two internet providers, me or them. So choose.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
because you could buy.
Like Canada's current system.
Right, exactly.
Literally.
There's like Bell and TELUS, and it's like, if you don't choose one
and
of them.
And Rogers owns like every other like thing. It's really sketchy. Like, if you're a Canadian citizen, look into it. You're getting ripped off. You're getting monopolized. And no one's going to say anything because they're all paid by the telephone companies.
Okay, that's conspiracy theorist, but also
it's not conspiracy theory. It's a fact.
I know. but it's like, okay, you don't want Elder Scrolls games. You don't want the Bethesda stuff. You don't want the Call of Duty and Overwatch. Even though they're huge juggernauts in gaming, you can look at Bungie's games. You can look at Ubisoft, even though that's on Game Pass. But like, there are other studios. So And a lot of them, and a lot of indie devs. And I think because there are so many indie devs that have a viable product that you can buy and play, and it is a video game.
On Steam, it's like, exists.
It doesn't matter that it's smaller. It's a video game, so you're competing. Is their marketing budget the same? No, it isn't. And I get it's harder for these games to be. It's harder for them to get their name out there, but. You have a choice in gaming, and even if you cut out all of the current stuff that's now under Microsoft, there's still a ton of games. There's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of games.
So I saw a list, actually, and it was a list of, like, here are the last game devs that Microsoft doesn't own. And number one was EA, right?
True.
Mm-hmm.
And then right below them, I think, was Ubisoft. And it's like, well, wait a second. EA has a deal with Game Pass. Like, EA Play goes through Game Pass now. And Ubisoft just signed also with
their
Game Pass.
Uplay stuff is probably, yeah.
But
Microsoft is not going, you need to make a new Far Cry, right?
Yeah.
So
no, they're
there's
not.
Definitely
and it's not exclusive either.
It's an alliance. No. It's an alliance.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, we're going to pair with Microsoft because they are these juggernauts, and we want our content on their Game Pass thing. And I don't know how the royalties work, but... Like,
aside from that, though... Big. Okay, aside from that, though, it's like, dude, it drops off so fast. It's like Take-Two, Sega, with the people who made Outriders, like their parent company, Square Enix.
Right.
Yeah.
Nintendo. There's Nintendo. But, like, Nintendo, they don't make games, dude.
Nintendo doesn't even know how to use the internet, bro. They have no clue this is happening. They're going to get a mail by horse-drawn carriage, and they're going to see it and go, Activision was bought? Are you serious? Who's Activision? Yeah, exactly. They don't even know you could purchase another. They wouldn't even consider purchasing another company. Are you serious? They probably think every other game is trash. They don't even know what the internet is. Like, they're not going to be doing that, dude. But really interesting because, again, even if it's not necessarily a monopoly because there is quite a few competitor, like, you know, companies, like I said, there's some of them that even though they're not owned, they're still on Game Pass. And so the Game Pass thing, like, it is like Netflix when Netflix was the only thing you could do and it had everything, like no Disney Plus, you know, and now there's like Peacock and HBO Max and all this crap, right? But is there a single Game Pass competitor? It's Game Pass. That's it.
Until Sony somehow tries to do it, and it's going to have 1/8 of the games.
What's Sony going to do now? Like, genuinely.
Honestly, here's the thing. Is like, Game Pass is going to be so big now, and maybe I'm off base here. Game Pass is so big that if you had Game Pass and you saved all the money that you would have bought on all these Activision games and all these other games that are going on there, it would almost make sense to be like, I'm going to have my Xbox Game Pass, and then all the other money could almost go towards buying a PlayStation for the exclusives. Do you know what I mean? Like there's so many games there. Like, you have such a big thing that, I mean, I guess then you have to have an Xbox.
Okay, here's something kind of annoying that is actually worth noting, because I have Game Pass, right? And so if I download a fun, simple game, Golf with Friends, if I download Golf with Friends on Game Pass, that's actually different than the Steam version. The servers are through Xbox, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to convince other people to get it through Game Pass if they want to play with me. Ooh. So it's creating, like, even Game Pass on PC, again, like, most games, unless they run their own servers, you know, you can't play with the Steam people. And I think that's by design, so, like, you're pulling people over to Game Pass.
It definitely varies game to game. Because, like, Back 4 Blood, for example. I play Back 4 Blood a bunch with my buddies. And one of my friends is like, I'm just going to cross-play because I've got Game Pass and Back 4 Blood's on Game Pass. So he plays it for free. We all have it on Steam. But we all play it together, no problem.
So, again, that's through their servers, though.
I don't know.
So any, like, little indie game, I don't think there is a crossover.
I wouldn't.
It's just an interesting factor, though. It's like, you want to play these Game Pass games, you have to also have Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. But, the thing to me is, like, there's just such a stark contrast here between, you have Sony over here going, they're just making promises for moves they'll make in the future. They're like, we're going to get something out that's going to compete with Game Pass. And that's maybe a promise. Day, after that's we're a done promise making for PS4s. Something. That's a promise for something in the future. And then you have Microsoft that's like, we're not making promises about future
we're
moves.
We're doing it.
We're buying Activision. Yeah. And we bought Bethesda. And we bought this mobile developer. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, they're not sitting on their hands making promises about future stuff they're going to do. They're like so aggressive right now. And I don't know if this can't be the end of their aggression. They came to a play. Right now we're asking, what's their next move going to be? While we're all still waiting on Sony to catch up with the promises they made. You know what I'm saying?
If this deal goes through, I think they might honestly like dial it back a bit with acquiring companies because like they are going to be approaching like Monopoly territory. Like at a certain point.
So
like
also,
there's going to be some very well paid antitrust lawyers involved in this like transaction, right?
Yeah.
So I heard what you said from the other room because I had to run. Question for you then.
Yeah.
If they're putting up all this money, do they see how big gaming is going to get long term? Are they looking at how many people are watching YouTube videos and watching all this gaming? And are they looking at that and going, we want to monopolize this? Do they want the monopoly of the gaming market because it's going up? It's going to keep going. And it's like, we want to be the kings of it. Maybe it's more valuable than we even think, though. Like maybe it's huge.
The monopoly might not be the end goal, but I think they obviously have decided this is where we're going to invest ourselves right now. This is the opportunity we want to strike on, so that when things start to really take off with gaming, we are on top.
Right.
So whether it's a monopoly or not, I don't know. But
yeah, someone
they're certainly poised to make a ton of profit.
Someone made a good point in the chat. They're like, if Disney's not technically a monopoly yet, maybe Xbox can make a few more acquisitions. But they're getting close. Right.
True.
They're getting close. You know what? Someone actually said, I saw a take that was like, all right, now that Microsoft's in charge, could we see Call of Duty switch to a bi-yearly cycle? Could we find
it?
Because like everyone has said, like the fatigue, the franchise fatigue with Call of Duty is so real. Like you had that small window where it was like Call of Duty 4 followed up by, I think it was World at War, followed up by Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops. Like it was like the stretch of like a few years where it was like the golden age. And then it's kind of like, especially now when you invest so much money, you buy all these skins and stuff.
That's
and
right.
You only have a year window, and then the next That's game's right. out. And basically the support for your game, like, dies down. They make so much money with microtransactions. I've seen a lot of people say, like, what if, dude, Microsoft... Because what do they have to lose? They could just try it on one game. Hey, we know we have a banger here. This is Treyarch's got a full 3 years. It's Black Ops, remake of Black Ops, original Black Ops. You know, kind of like what they did with Modern Warfare recently. 2 year cycle. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And then they just dial up those microtransactions. They got the big content additions and just see what happens. And I feel like, because then I feel like that could really revitalize the franchise. Because by the time the new Call of Duty gets revealed and stuff, because you got to remember, it's not just like, oh, you have a year to play.
You're still working on your camos.
Yeah, no, but it's like the new Call of Duty gets revealed around like spring or summer, right? That's when like E3 is happening. So summer, E3, new Call of Duty. It's like, am I really going to finish my diamond camo grind when I'm already
right.
watching a trailer for the next Man. Call of Duty?
I just couldn't keep up with that pace.
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, you've got Destiny players who are pissed that their 3-year-old gun is getting sunset. And then you got Call of Duty players who are like,
literally everything
dude,
gets sunset.
My guns
every
are relevant
year.
In a
yeah.
couple months.
So I think that like we could see like things that fans have been asking for, but Activision has been too stubborn. Like maybe we could see a 2-year Call of Duty. I think that would really revitalize everything. Because then after 2 years, fans are like eager for the next thing.
Yeah.
And like for sure we could, but also at the same time, you know, Microsoft owns 343, who made Halo Infinite, and like look how that's launched. And it's not like it's this pinnacle of gaming. So
no,
so it's like
true, right?
is Microsoft buying Activision gonna almost turn them into a golden goose and have all the devs that are doing their job better? I don't know. Maybe some of the culture the culture changes, maybe. But
I think they'll definitely put some new people in charge at the very top, which could change some things for sure. But I think that the really the main reason they spent $70 billion was that you could go on to Game Pass and every single Call of Duty will be there. Yeah. Which is, dude, my friend bought Call of Duty Black Ops 3 recently because it was on Steam sale. It was like half off, but it's like, it was like $20. So it's still, it's still like $40. This game, Black Ops 3, is like, oh my gosh, 6 years old at this point now? Seven? Right. I don't know. Like, so old. Now, and he's like, I bought it because of zombies. This is like, it comes with all the zombies maps, and it's all, no, I think the, like, he got the, like, bundle with the zombie stuff. It was like $40. He spent $40 on a seven-year-old Call of Duty game, right? For PC, so you can play zombies because they've got all the modded maps and stuff. Sure. So that's how much value these games retain, is like Activision doesn't even lower the price of their Call of Duties for like 5 years, right?
It's like a Toyota. And, it's like a used Toyota. Yeah, it's always
so, that's right.
Especially like, yeah, the nostalgia increases every year. People want to. So imagine you have every single Call of Duty. I want to play some Black Ops 1 Zombies, man. I want to play Kino. I'm gonna install that today because of Game Pass. Like, what? That's right. What a deal, right?
Like, you can strike on your nostalgic vibes, yeah, anytime you want.
Yes, yeah. Dude. I'm feeling like Diablo 2 tonight. You know, I'm feeling like StarCraft, original StarCraft, baby.
That's right.
Like,
what is the most watched stuff on Netflix? Seinfeld, The Office,
yes,
The
Office,
Friends.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
It's the old stuff. And so if you just have access to that stuff, and like Activision at Blizzard has a pretty nice repertoire of games, so they throw on some of those ones.
And nostalgia is a really powerful thing among gamers. Especially, I always think back. I remember there's this game called Kingdoms of Amalur. I've got you can see the bottom of the artwork for
you've
the,
talked about it. Yeah,
he's the mega
love
fan.
This game, right? I'm a huge fan of that game. Well, I mean, it's such a hard game. It was for a long time a hard game to find. The developer went under. They were in debt to the government, and like the whole studio crashed, right? And I remember this very specifically. I had lost my copy of the game, and nostalgia was striking, and I was like, really want to do another playthrough of that game. So I called several GameStops. I found a GameStop that had one in stock, just one. And I like rushed over there. I literally clocked out of work early, told my boss I wasn't feeling well, drove to the store. And when I went, they had like Mass Effect 3 had literally just come out the week before. And they had a wall of just Mass Effect 3, big display, and tons of copies of the game. You know, and it was already, I don't know if you remember this, Mass Effect 3 was not very well received. And it was only a week old, and it was on sale for $30. And then there was Kingdoms of Amalur. I found it, and it wasn't even, the box was in bad condition. And it was $60. And I remember saying to the guy, I was like, why is Kingdoms of Amalur, this game is ancient, by that time, $60. Well, Mass Effect, that's a week old, is $30. And the guy goes, I got 60 copies of Mass Effect. I have one copy of Kingdoms of Amalur. That's why it's $60. And I was like, yeah, touche. And then but I did it. You know, I spent $60 on a game because of nostalgia. And it's like, that's totally true for gamers. And if you can get that feeling satisfied on Game Pass.
Oh, I mean, Blizzard, you're in business. For nostalgia. Again, like, Diablo. Original StarCraft. Warcraft. I guess Warcraft 1, 2, and 3. Like those games, man. Holy crap. Especially,
Diablo 1 again. Go play Diablo 2 again.
Xbox is known for, they actually have a division of people that go and remake these old games and bring them up to higher fidelities and stuff. It's not like a complete, you know, Mass Effect Legendary Edition remake. It's like they bring up the fidelity and they improve the game so that at these old Xbox games and stuff, and then they put them on Game Pass. So like you could see that really for a lot of old Activision and Blizzard games.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think we've got to move on, but like this is huge. Sure. I think the sale goes. Who knows when like Call of Duty is going to show up on Game Pass, right? Like it's going to.
2023 is when the deal goes through. Yeah.
But you wonder, like, will it show up before that point? Who knows? But I think it's going to get to the point where it's like, how can you not buy Game Pass? It's going to be like Netflix when it was the only thing in town. It's like, if you're not buying Netflix, you're missing out.
Right.
So crazy.
So let's move on to the ninja and Pokimane drama. So
drama.
If you want kind of a breakdown of what happens, Pokimane made a tweet about it. She was talking about the initial harassment from a guy named Gideon. Gideon? I don't. I've never even heard of this guy.
So that's the point, by the way.
He's a pretty new streamer who's popping off, and he's I think watching Pokimane or something. And he's like, everyone go to her chat and spam L plus ratio. Like, L plus ratio. So, you know, he does that. And I think he's maybe said some things at some point. But he does that and gets banned because it's a pretty obvious, like, no raiding violation. Because there's rules at Twitch. You cannot raid another, like, as in, like, no hate raiding. You can't, like, say, what he said was, like textbook, like, hey, go here and type this into her chat, like,
make them feel bad, right?
Yeah, like, you 100% like against the rules. And I saw some people like reacting to him do it, and they're like, oh no, like, this is he's breaking the rules. Like, it's like very obvious that this is against the rules.
Yeah,
but then Pokimane,
he went off though. Like, after that, like, it was like, it's like it started with that, and it's like, that is against the rules. But it's not like he was saying anything crazy yet. But then he gets banned, and then he starts going off, right? And he's just...
I think your timeline might be off. Because I think before he got banned, and before the hate raid, was when he started saying the comments about... Because, right, Pokimane had been in trouble with the whole... Her ban that she got for streaming...
Watching Avatar and Last Airbender, shows. Yeah.
Right. And so... But he was on his stream saying, basically... really vulgar things about, hey, guys in Pokimane's chat, I hate to break it to you, but she's
got a man.
She's got a man, and he got, but it wasn't as simple as she's got a man. Like, he went into detail about what she's doing with that guy and how it's, you know, like, very graphic detail about it. I watched the clips and heard it all. Very inappropriate stuff. And so he kind of, I feel like this guy's like, hey, I'm new on the scene, and I'm going to pick the biggest person out there that I want to throw shade at, you know what I'm saying, to get some relevance. I don't know. But yeah. Anyways.
Well, so Gideon, I'm not sure 100% of the timeline, but he does this thing, and even if you're a fan of Gideon, it's like, it was like an extremely clear rules violation. So he sent people over, gets banned for that, and then kind of like claps back with, hey, you know, Pokimane's not going to, you know, bang you. She's got a boyfriend is like what he said. And then I'm not sure whether it's before or after he's banned, but he's banned. Then he released like some stuff that Pokimane did in the past. Like, he released a clip of her saying the N word from like 5 or 6 years ago. And she was like a really early streamer. Like, you can tell by the footage and like doing it and saying like, well, she's trying to play the victim. She's not perfect. So it's really just been this like back and forth of like, and then Pokimane saying, well, like, I'm getting constantly harassed by this guy. Like, what did I do this guy? Everyone's coming into my chat and like saying all this crazy stuff. And then Ninja gets involved here. It's like, you think it's like these two guys somehow is like one of the craziest plot twists of all time. Ninja's involved again. So what happened is Ninja is like talking to Gideon or something like that. And he hears, he's like, oh, Gideon got banned. He's like, I didn't think Ninja says like, yeah, man, like, you can't do that, right? You got to be careful next time. You're going to get banned for hate raiding. And then he's like, well, I can like maybe text my Twitch community manager and say, hey, Gideon says he's sorry. And so he gets his phone and is like, yeah, he's like, okay, done. I did it, right? He's like, I did it. And then Pokimane calls him out on that, is like, hey, like, this guy is, you know, really sending people after me, and now you're, like, texting your community manager to get him unbanned? And then Ninja's like, I never did it. Pokimane finds the clip, and I saw the clip, like, he definitely did it, but then he's like, I never, like, I did it maybe on stream to, like, get to calm down chat. I don't know, like, he says he never actually did.
Well, he's probably terrified of this guy's audience, because think of the audience this guy breeds. I mean, there was already someone in chat here going, free Gideon, free Gideon. Like, I can imagine the majority of this guy's audience is a cesspool, right? Well, and so, like, yeah, Ninja's probably trying to shut him up. But then it escalates from there too, because
Gideon, by the way,
Gideon, whatever, Darth,
getting ripped by Chad. Like, sorry,
but here's the thing. Then it escalates where now Ninja's wife
is like, yeah,
DMs Pokimane and is like, "We're gonna sue you for defamation because you're lying and saying Ninja did something that he didn't." And it's like, "Oh, ayo, what?" So,
and then Pokimane did the funniest thing of this whole thing, where she tweeted a picture of like her and Ludwig in like suits, and the lawyers, like, "These are my lawyers, I'm screwed," or something like that. Yeah. I was like, that was hilarious. I thought that was funny as crap, dude. But
let me clarify. People are asking, what's wrong with L plus ratio? Well, the whole idea was that she was streaming a PvP game at the time. She was playing Valorant. L plus ratio is basically, you're a loser, show your KD. Like, what are your stats? You know what I'm saying? And it was just like your typical, it's sort of a response that you would give to a female gamer if you're trying to call them out for like, "Hey, you're not even good at this game," kind of an idea. So it's people one of those were things like, what, like, does that mean? Let me just provide a little clarification what, so
like,
that means.
If I say L plus ratio, like, I'll say it to people as a clear joke. Like, if Tash did something, I'd be like, "L plus ratio plus fell off plus your channel's dead," or whatever, right? Because it's like a meme about that. So, like, that by itself, yeah, it's like, okay,
well, I think
it's not the end of the world. But when you send 1,000 people to go and all spam it, so, because basically the problem is, like, you're derailing her stream. Like, she's trying to have a stream, she's trying to, like, interact with her fans, and now all these people are in here, like, she can't interact, she can't even see chats from her fans, like, and again, whether or not you think it's okay is not the point. Twitch has said very clearly you can't do that. So it was like a clear rules violation. Twitch bans people for pretty much everything, but this was like a pretty clear rules violation.
And it's like, okay, and regardless, it starts with the L plus ratio, and he's like, "Ha, everyone say that." And then she's like, "Okay, screw off." He gets banned. But then he starts attacking her. And it's like, both instances are unprovoked. And then he gets banned for it. And then he just doubles down and he starts attacking her. And he's like super misogynistic about it. And he's like, no matter how you look at it, it's like, he was just being a dick.
His side would say, "Oh, he's not being misogynistic. She's racist. Here's the clip from 5 years ago."
Right.
Of her saying the stuff.
And this is why we're attacking her. Like,
so it's kind of like, you can't, like, I think Gideon's fans, it's like, okay, you can't be like, "Oh, she's playing a victim. You just want to, like..." And then, but he does, and then tries to get her canceled. Like, he's like, "She's trying to cancel me, so I'm going to cancel her." It's just like a cancel circle jerk. It's just, it goes around, and it's really hard to keep track of, honestly. And then somehow Ninja is out of here. You know what I mean? Ninja pops his head in, and then threatens to sue everyone, which is the weirdest part.
And then she tweeted 6 hours ago saying, "I'm glad he apologized and told his viewers to chill. I hope he does better in the future, and this will be the last time I have to talk about this." And that's fine, but there was a clip going around where she, like, completely called Ninja out, and she's like, "You deleted your tweets about this stuff. You're kind of standing up, and you're like not you're kind of defending this guy, and you're not speaking out about this because you think it's going to hurt your brand. You, like, you refuse to denounce this misogyny because of your brand." And it's like she, like, went in on him too. Like, it was
part of it too was that Ninja, when this all went down, he was live on stream, and he said, I feel like he was trying to, like, maybe appeal to Gideon's viewership, because Gideon donated, like, 100 subs in his chat, and so he was kind of trying to beat around the bush a little bit, but what he ultimately said was, "You can't just hate raid," and then he used the B word.
Yeah.
You can't do it to derogatory term for women. It was a bad move because there's only one person that could possibly refer to, because there's only one person that his community did it to, and it's Pokimane. So if you use that word, it's a direct correlation here. You are directly calling Pokimane that word.
Bad move, but I almost feel a little sorry for him, because it's like, Gideon's obviously there. His entire audience is there. I think he is probably like, "Oh my gosh, if I go like, Gideon, you're a piece of crap, dude. You're such a misogynist. Why would you do that?" He's going to get all the same crap that Pokimane's getting. And he obviously is just trying to, like,
"Well,
he was the biggest streamer in the
world.
What
does he care?
Are you scared of him?
Right?
He would get so many more points if in that moment he said, look, I don't need your 100 subs. Do you know who I am? I don't need your 100 subs. You think I'm going to kiss your butt because you donated 100 subs? I'm Ninja. I live in a multi-million dollar house. I was paid millions and millions of dollars by multiple different platforms because they begged me to come be on their platforms. And you want me to kiss your butt? No. You can't say stuff. You can't do stuff like that. You know how many more points he would get for that?
Probably.
Like, I've never even heard of this guy. Like, why are you defending him? You're Ninja. You're the guy that, like, a lot of us were supposed to aspire to. I mean, maybe not as much anymore. And, like, even this, like, it kind of does paint him in a bad light. It's like, really? You're not going to stand up against that? Like, it's kind of like a basic decency thing. You know? Like, hey, people are being a dick to Pokimane. Like, you know, don't be a dick to Pokimane. Don't be a dick to anyone.
Don't
like
be a dick to anyone. Yeah, that's exactly like, right.
Okay, well, hold on.
Is she perfect? No. But still,
I was going to say, devil's advocate, all three of us were being dicks to Pokimane and everyone else who were streaming the copyright content. And notice, now we've all not only forgotten, we're all on Pokimane's side now.
And so I think there's another argument that's like
maybe people are trumping this up, not just Pokimane, but like, you know, XQC is all over this drama, because guess what? Every single person has forgotten about the copyright stuff, and now this is the new drama, right? So it's like, it's in their interest to drop all the copyright stuff that they were clearly, you know, kind of crappy for doing, and now everyone's talking about this. That's another argument I've seen. I'm not saying I'm agreeing with it, I'm just saying, like,
I still think they're all trash for doing the copyright stuff and willingly and knowingly doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Cax, but at the same time, us saying what you're doing is hurting smaller content creators is not the same thing as saying, I bet she is receiving this object from this man this deep.
Yeah.
Those things are not equal. And I don't want to be equated with that, okay?
Yeah, very different. At the end of the day, it's like, what is Pokimane really? I feel like people are just like mad because it's Pokimane. It's like, dude, what is she really doing there? She's just out here playing Valorant. And if she's sucking, she's sucking at Valorant. I suck at Valorant. You know what I mean? It's like, whatever. Right? It's like, what is she? She's not like hurting anyone. You could definitely make the argument that she was hurting people when she was watching the copyright stuff and all those streamers were, right? That's a separate issue. But it's like, you can't like obviously break the rules and then get super vindictive when you get called out for obviously breaking the rules. Like, you just got to take on the chin and be like, all right, that was a mistake, we can't do that again. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like everyone just kind of handled this not the best. Well, by everyone, I mean, like, Pokimane actually ended up handling it quite well, in the sense that I'm glad that she came with the receipts, because apparently, like, the Ninja thing, he's like, I never said this, I never texted my whatever. She had to like go find this VOD and like skim through all 12 hours to find the clip, and did, and like kind of prove that it did happen. So that was wild too.
Do you want to jump on with the Troy Baker stuff?
Yeah.
Go for it.
NFTs. Everyone, like, there, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong here, I feel like there's a bunch of NFT and crypto bros that are just constantly like pushing it. Like, if you buy one of those Bored Ape Yacht Club monkeys, and it's like, you have to make your profile picture, but for the rest of your life, it's like NFT, 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 crypto, crypto, crypto online. You can't stop talking about it. I've seen so many YouTubers that are in the crypto now. I mean, even the head of gaming for YouTube, he is like always talking about cryptos and NFT, and like, he like kind of pushes it himself. And so,
Troy Baker?
No.
Or just anyone?
No, like, dude, like Ryan.
He's always talking about crypto. Here's why. If you own an NFT, what makes the value go up? More people trying to get NFTs. Yeah. It's like if I spent $200,000 on silver, and I'm like, silver's the next metal, at every stream, I'd be like, yo, you guys better get silver. Everyone better get silver. You know what I mean? Because then if I actually can drum up some interest and people buy silver, that's the biggest problem with cryptocurrencies and NFTs, is that it is very in your self-interest to promote the stuff that you hold.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
If I own SafeMoon, I'm like, SafeMoon is the cryptocurrency of a lifetime, right? And now that's not to say that it's all NFTs are, all cryptocurrencies are bad, right? And for goodness sakes, dude, like, we can call them dumb all we want. There's some dude sitting there who made $800,000 off a freaking picture of a monkey. We're the dumb ones, clearly, because we didn't buy this picture when it was $1,000, right? Like,
yeah.
So people are making millions of dollars, an insane amount of money, and they're the ones laughing. But there's a lot of people who are not making money. And then, like, NFTs can certainly be cool. You own something in the digital space. But it just seems like they're just getting all these, like, people as like blatant cash grabs, which is the Troy Baker situation.
Right. And so they're trying to do like a voice NFT with Troy Baker. Cause I think he does like Vegeta and
he does a lot.
He's like a Last huge of Us voice actor, one of the biggest voice actors ever. And he posted like, "Hey, really excited about our new NFT project." And every comment is like, "Yikes." Just roasting him. If you go,
the announcement is like, you can hate or you can create. Like, yeah, he's like already like,
everyone's like, we'll go with hate.
It just seems bad. Like
he was such a fan favorite. Like, everybody loved Troy Baker for his voice work and some such iconic roles. You know, I've got a buddy of mine who's like just a huge Troy Baker fan. Was like really disappointed he couldn't find him on Cameo, all that stuff. So.
Yeah,
he does have a huge following of people who really just love him as like a gamer guy and the voice of so many iconic characters. So it is a bit of a shame that he went that deep with it.
Yeah, so it's like this on everything, bro.
So it's like they were like voice over NFTs. So like it would be like an auto generated like, or it'd be like a certain voice. You could like pick a type of voice, like an AI created voice, and they're like, then you can like have this voice. And, like, imagine, this isn't functional at all right now, I think. It's just, like, imagine if it worked like this. So you can take your voice, oh, I want this type of voice, and then I can have this voice associated with my character in the metaverse or in these different games. Like, maybe it could work in the metaverse, but, like, certainly, I don't know if a game would be like, oh, yeah, we can use your NFT voice that you bought from Troy Baker in our game.
Bro,
I don't even know.
But that then, tilts the hell out of me.
Then the company that did that... I think like one of the overall company that was facilitating that ended up stealing all this voice stuff from a completely different company. It was like, oops, we didn't know. We're sorry about that. So it's like,
we're
they got
sell
exposed.
You the things that we don't own.
Dude, sound it's good? Just like, yeah, exactly. It's just
the
like
exclusive rights to things that aren't ours.
Yeah, it's like, imagine if you could be the one person to own this. It's like, bro, you don't even own it, and you're selling it. You don't even own it.
Yeah, I feel like there's just so many scams going on, and all the crypto bros, they're like, can you imagine if your Master Chief armor could be in Neopets? And it's like, well, it's not going to be in Neopets. But they, like, they don't do it. It's like all the people that tweet out at game developers, like, fix this bug or fix this little thing. And that doesn't even get fixed half the time, or the changes don't get made. How many Reddit threads have there been about fixing a particular thing or adding a thing in the game, and it never happens? Do you really think they're going to code, animate, implement all these different NFTs, make them universal with every engine, game to game to game, Pokemon into God of War? No! It's not going to happen! And people are like, oh my god, NFTs are the future of gaming. They're going to make a bunch of NFT games... and they're going to be dog meat.
They're going
to
fail.
They're not going to be interchangeable. And here is the big juicy thing. It's like play to earn is the future. Well, then it's not a game. It's a job. So if you're going and chopping wood in RuneScape and selling that gold, and like that's the only reason you're doing it, it's like, well, that's a job. And is that going to pay more than a McDonald's? Is it going to pay more than other things? Like, you can't tell me that those games won't get infested with bots. I mean, the Ubisoft one, the Ubisoft courts thing, whatever it was, they had a helmet that took 600 hours of gameplay to get.
You had
to play for 600. They had a bunch of bots just sitting in there for 600 hours to make to make $100. You don't think that those games will get absolutely pumped by bots? And if it's a finite resource, you playing to earn, you're going to make pennies on it. And if there are bots, it's going to bring down their value. Like, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, and it's concerning when you see the head of YouTube Gaming being like, it's not such a bad idea. Like, he hasn't gotten too much hate, but he's like really into NFTs.
He's on thin ice.
Yeah, because he owns a bunch. And it's like, bro, like, you're owning $1 million worth of NFTs and you want to sell for $2 million. Like, of course you're going to be like, I really think this is a good idea.
Use like, my influence to drive it. Yeah.
Again, there's some cool things you can do. I appreciate where it's like, you can track an image. Hey, this is like, I technically own this image. So if you want the rights or whatever, I don't know. Like, there is some cool stuff, especially with like maybe collecting just in a digital space. But at the end of the day, it's just like, if there's a good idea how to incorporate NFTs into gaming, sure. Like, all right, I'm down. Right. But it seems like it's trying to be forced rather than like anything that's going to actually add to the game.
That's right. Moving on though, since we're already almost an hour into the show, so we should probably crank out a couple extra topics real quick. So this past week, Bungie revisited their community focus segment, and they highlighted a streamer named Gamer Girl Gray, and she's a really nice gal. You know, I've interacted with her several times. I've hung out on her stream. She's very positive, very uplifting, and
or turns out she's evil.
But here's the thing. So, a quick rundown of events. Last week, before the community focus came out, Gamer Girl Gray tweeted out while Iron Banner was live last week, a screenshot. She said, "Hey, I got two We Ran Out of Medals. This match was really, really good. We Ran Out of Medals in Destiny 2 is a 20 kill streak. It's sort of like one of the pinnacle medals that you can get." She got two in one match. Well, what happened, and the screenshot shows this very clearly, she was in a what we call a six stack. It's her and five other friends of hers all in the same pre-made fire team. They can communicate, they can talk, against another team of players that were not a full pre-made fire team, and they did not capture any zones. So very clearly they said, hey, we want to get a lot of kills this match. Let's not cap any zones, because when you capture zones, you could hit the mercy rule. If you're way better than the other team and it's clearly a mismatched match, the game will intervene and say, this is not going well for the other team. They're not having any fun. Let's just call it. But if you don't cap any zones, you can avoid the mercy rule. So you can stay in a match where you clearly have a massive advantage and you're making other people have a very bad time. So they did that. And that's how they were able to get so many kills with so few deaths. Pre-made fire team, bunch of solos, and a couple of like small fire teams of two. Right? So that tweet didn't go over well. People were like, that seems kind of toxic. And you can draw your own conclusions about that. It is hard to get some of your Iron Banner bounties done when you're constantly getting mercy rules and stuff like that. So I understand it, but it is circumventing the mercy rule is probably not a great thing.
Like, when I was playing Iron Banner, I was trying to get like the ability kills thing. Like, if you're six stacking, you're mercying before your super can regenerate. Like, it's so fast. So you almost, like, have to dial it back a little bit just so you can get a few ability kills. Like, not even, like, I was never, like, trying to farm that hardcore. It's just like, hey, everyone, stop capturing zones. Like, let me get a couple of super kills before the game ends, basically.
Sure.
And I get that frustration, too. But also, like, you know, it's almost a shame where it's like, hey, yeah, we can't play in our six stack because, like, we're going to be too good. And, like, we won't be able to do our bounties and, like, there's something wrong with the game design or the game balance or the lobby balance or something there in those situations where it's like, we're not going to play the game mode properly because we're like, we can't do it. Or the bounty system. There's just so many problems there too.
So she did it. It's referred to as, you know, farming bots because you're farming bad players, right? Or worse than you players. And so she got this community thing and the Reddit thread, of course, on the Destiny Reddit announcing this, it was all just people being like, yep, my one experience of her is that she's toxic and because of this like tweet. And it was just all the people. And then, of course, people being like, well, you know why she was, you know, picked? Because she's a woman, because she's Bungie.
She's
trying
a woman,
to be, like,
she's lesbian, she's all this stuff. She's a minority, right? And so they chose to attack those things.
I looked it up. I think it's to reply to you. I looked it up and I was like trying to see what's going on. Literally, it's like, oh, my one experience with her is that she was toxic six stacking, and someone else being like, of course, I'm never going to watch her. Someone flies, it's like, I'd rather watch a Rick Kakis intro than watch her. And I'm like, what did I do, bro? Like, what did I do? It's like, bro, so, I'm losing right. here. Like,
that was funny. But here's the thing. So, like, what a lot of people failed to recognize was that the day after that, her original tweet, she had a really positive conversation on Twitter with a lot of different people. She was very gracious. She was very professional in the way that she responded to people. And she said, I totally understand why you feel the way you do about what the screenshot I posted last night. And I'm sorry. I totally understand. She wasn't defensive. She didn't get overly militant or aggressive towards anybody, even the people who were swearing at her and calling her toxic. She was like, I totally understand that. And that's totally fair. You know, and she kind of treated it as a teachable moment. And frankly, I don't see that one maybe bad thing being in the scales of weighing somebody's value. I don't see that as having a lot of weight when you compare it to some of the wonderful things that she's done in the community, which is why she got the community spotlight. But people chose not to see past that and really just weigh the value of her character by that one screenshot of an Iron Banner match. And that's really the shame of it. I feel like people are really missing out on an opportunity to get to know a pretty decent person, because frankly, I've made mistakes as a streamer. There's been times I've said stuff or I've done stuff and immediately I'm like, I gotta own that, because that I screwed up. That was not okay. And I've had to have those moments too.
It's crazy,
so,
man.
I hate when people really just assign a value to your character based off of one thing, because I guarantee that the people doing that are not flawless either.
I know, it's so wild. It's like, oh, she farmed one, and there's like a time limit of like 10 minutes or whatever in an Iron Banner game, or 15 minutes. So like the worst she did was farm people for like 10 or 15 minutes, and those people could have left at any time. It's like, did she make the experience worse for them? Absolutely. But it's like, that's just being good in game. Bro, when I was playing Modern Warfare 2 and I was sitting above their spawn with a chopper gunner, I was never like, oh, what about these people? I was like, good, good. I'm getting this nuke, baby. Yeah. I'm going to end the game. I'm going to get a nuke. I'm going to literally end the game for everyone because I'm so good and I won. That was like, that was gaming back in the day. And now people are like, oh, they didn't capture zones. Well, like, you couldn't capture a zone. Like, yeah. What do you, like, you had six people on your team and you got farmed. And you know what? It sucks. And Bungie should look into potentially fixing that. But it's like, it's so crazy where it's like, listen, is it toxic? Absolutely. But it's like, in the scale of toxicity, all these like Redditors, it's like, oh, you're telling me in your personal life, you never done anything, like anything to annoy someone? Because that's really, at the end of the day, is what it was. It's like they had 10 annoying minutes, right? It's like, you never annoyed someone for 10 minutes.
You really annoy me the entire podcast, right?
Exactly.
We're like, still friends. You know, exactly. The crazy thing, though, is like, I feel like in that camp, kind of what you're saying, where I'm looking at this, and I'm like, you're that mad about this? Like, I'm like,
bro, I've gotten farmed in Iron Banner, and I'm just like, I'm getting
when I was
tilted.
Younger, like,
but it's
in
like,
Halo,
I'm never like, ah, it's
I got
like, dude,
farmed
they're
by this
better
guy.
Than me.
His name was Da Monsta. And he farmed me in Halo 3. Do you know what I did? I added him and I said, yo, can we 1v1? And he destroyed me. He was like 20-something. He lived in New York. And he destroyed me over and over and over. We'd do 1v1s up to 10. I would play 5 games before I killed him once. But when I did, I was like, yes, I finally killed you. I finally did it. I figured out that sneaky spot you were in, and I learned from it. And I think I'm wired so differently. It's like, I want to improve at the game. If I'm getting dumpstered by this team, I'd be like, why am I spawning in this spot? And I keep dying. How are they spawn trapping? I want to understand the game. I feel like there's so many people in the Destiny community that it's like, we want skill-based matchmaking, not so we can improve or to even it. It's like,
so I can have easier games.
Right.
And they're like, they get mad at you, a streamer, for wanting easier games, but secretly they also want easier games.
They also want easier games. And here's the most frustrating thing, especially when there's like a social and a ranked system. If you want easier games, you're supposed to play the ranked system to get your rank.
No one does.
To play, right, exactly, to play people that are the same rank as you, because then you won't play the outliers. But like the other thing too, that people need to understand and accept, I've said this multiple times, even on this podcast, is it's the bell curve. Like 96% of people are within, I think it's 2 standard deviations. Some people are slightly better than you. Some people are slightly worse. But the majority of people are right there. 96% of people are right there in the middle. All of you are the same. So you can either suck it up and get better at the game, or you can keep crying about it. And I feel like that is, like, a big thing, too. And, like, I got in shit a long time ago with Crucible School because I made a video that was, like, you deserve to lose. And I talked about if you're going into Skirmish by yourself and you die to three people, you deserve to lose. Because the advantages of playing with a team are so massive. Call outs and that team morale and all those things, they're so huge that, like, you are willingly putting yourself in a disadvantaged position. So, you know, I kind of worded it like that. And so I get it. Not everyone has six friends online, but, like, you are also willingly putting yourself in a disadvantaged position, and you're going to get stomped by teams of six, and there's nothing you can do. Do they need to not cap zones? No. But like, they could also just end the game in 1 minute if they wanted to and cap all the zones and, like, farm you that way. And so it's, like, it's just this tough thing where it's like...
It's interesting. It's, like, to that point, it's so interesting because, like, these Redditors, they're trying to be so holier than thou and non-toxic, they're toxic. So, like, think about what they're saying. They're like,
they're attacking they're her.
Like, yeah, they're right? like, they're like, this person, you know, this person was toxic. It's like, do you really need to, you know, capture zero flags? Like, again, you can extend it for a few minutes to get a super and then end the game. You know what I mean? Show some mercy, because you do feel bad for someone who's like, my first game, I just started Destiny, and you get farmed, right? But it's like, think of what they're saying. This person, like, went a little overzealous and was toxic for one Iron Banner game. Therefore, I hate her. I will never watch her stream. And Bungie only picked her because she's a female, like, person of color, lesbian. It's like, dude, you tried to call her on your toxicity and went so far. You're full circle. Now you're the toxic one. Like, we're back to now. You're just being toxic. And it's like, again, it's like, dude, can you not just be like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, but whatever. Like, now you know. Now you chill. It's like, again, like, has no one ever made a mistake? Has no one ever, like, gotten mad? Has no one ever, like, it's just so wild.
Well, and the irony, there's a couple of things I want to say real quick before we move on. The irony is that, I mean, I even had one guy respond to me because I commented on this whole exchange and what happened. And commented and just took it way out of context and made some really just hyperbolic statements about it. And I said, dude, do you even understand the context of this conversation? He's like, no, you didn't provide any. And it's like,
that's
you,
jumped
straight to being hyperbolic and toxic before you even knew what we were talking about.
Right.
And it's like, these are the same people who did not take the time to vet the information and say, is this person really toxic? How do they carry themselves on stream? What are they known for? You know, they did no research whatsoever. They took one screenshot and decided that was enough. I am chomping at the bit to just lash out at somebody, anybody. And that's what they chose to do. And that really is just a darn
shame. Dude, I got roasted because my intros are 10 seconds longer than these Redditors want. And they're just like, I got, like, in the fire. It's just so crazy. Cause yeah, like, that's me. They're convinced my videos could be 45 seconds shorter. And so they're like, I hate the guy. Right. I mean, it's like,
it's popular to hate.
It's, like, so it's wild. It is. It's so, and it's very easy.
Yeah. There's a Genshin.
It's easier, easy Reddit upvotes.
Yeah. There's a Genshin guy, Enviosity. He's, like, genuinely one of the nicest guys I've chatted with. I played some Halo with him the other day, and, like, he's just a very friendly demeanor. And someone made a post. It was like, am I crazy here? Or does Enviosity talk about being free to play too much? And it's like, okay, like, maybe he does. I mean, my account name is Free to Play God. You know, like, so it's like, I talk about it too. But then it was just 6,000 upvotes and comment after comment of just, like, attacking the guy. And it's like, why? Why do these Reddit people just, they get off on it. They're like, other people hate this thing too or dislike this thing? I'm going to just attack it. And like, they don't think that there's a person on the other end. Like, it is.
Which is like, I want to just, it's like, go to your job, like, at, you know, driving a forklift and be like, that's how you drive a forklift, you piece of shit. Like, look at how you're driving this forklift, you absolute moron, stupid idiot. It's like, dude, and this is nothing against forklift drivers. It's just like, that's my point. Like, imagine someone coming into your job. Like, we'll watch a video, right? They go viral of Karens, people being Karens. And, like, accosting people for the dumbest, tiniest things. What are you doing? You're selling lemonade on the side of the street. Where's your business license? And the kid's like, what are you talking about? That is Reddit to every freaking streamer and YouTuber, man. It's a bunch of Karens who are like, Rikakis' intro is 15 seconds too long! Aaron, like, you mentioned free-to-play and True Vanguard fucking killed someone!
It's we like, get it. Sidearms like, are cool. I get it.
True Vanguard, you really want to be non-toxic? Call yourself a Christian, fake Christian! It's like,
I call it fake Christian again today, dude. Oh, they just don't let it go.
Well, stop faking it then. Jesus Christ.
Like, I just made a tweet. And the guy was like, he took it in a political direction. I said, no, thank you. I don't really want to get political. And he's like, you refusing to address the politics is just you dodging the question. And then he dropped a Bible reference. Like, it dropped a verse from the Bible out of context. I was like, I prefer not to drop Bible references out of context because I think it makes us look bad as Christians. He's like, you refusing to acknowledge the Bible publicly means you are not a real Christian.
I know. And again, it's like,
why didn't even do anything?
It's so crazy because it's like, in the grand scheme of things, what are you attacking? Again, one Iron Banner game. You extended one Iron Banner game where your intro is a little bit too long, or you said something, you said a weapon was good and I think that weapon's bad or something. It's like the most minor things. So people are like, I hate you. I will spend 25 minutes making, you know, a content or making a Reddit post about like Kakis's 10-second too long intro. It's like, wasted more time than it takes to watch the video and go on with your day. Like, what are you doing?
Like, if a genie showed up right now and gave me one wish, I would not wish for unlimited wealth. I would wish for the opportunity to punch you in the face with zero consequences. Yeah,
exactly.
That's how strongly I feel about that.
Exactly.
Like, but it's just wild.
Wait. One last thing though. Like, is if you are gonna roast Kakis for his intro, at least click on his video and type it up while that ad is playing, and then roast it. Don't do it on Reddit. Come to the podcast. Come roast us here. Let the ad load. Come spend some time. Give us some watch time, and then we'll read it. You know.
It is actually hilarious, and it's just like you guys need to like relax and just like it's like this person seems cool. It's a new force in the community. Like, let's not all go nuclear the first second because of an Iron Banner screenshot. It's like, geez.
My life is about to go nuclear because the whole Genshin Impact community is imploding.
This is some more. You thought the drama was done, baby. We're back in it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not even going to get into it because it's honestly escalating to the point now. I'm getting DMs from people. People are live streaming right now, like, debating it, or maybe they're down now, but I think my life is going to get real annoying for the next couple of days because at this point, content creators are literally just calling each other and be like, yeah, I hate that guy. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say. I'm going to, you know, catch up on it after the podcast, but it is getting real sussy baka, as the kids say nowadays.
As the Genshin.
Who says that? I've only ever heard Genshin one people say that. It's you.
Tash got me to say it, and then I've been getting roasted because I'll be like, oh, you're being a sussy baka.
I got like everyone grinding, saying it, bro.
I know, I'm like grinding
Fruit
a GM. Fruit
said
I'll be
it
like,
in a video the other day. I don't even know if he knows he said it, but he called someone a baka the other day, and I was like, ha-ha.
Who?
Mr. Fruit. I can see it leeching in. And do you want to know what's funny, too, is you know that thing we do? I'm pretty sure he does it, too.
Bro, it's because, so fun
because it's like kind of trickled through while we were playing New World, and I was like, and he.
I got my buddies yelling Bob Saget now.
Oh my god,
dude! You have one good it changes your life. Like you just do something and you just go, you know what I mean? We're like,
dude, we're gonna come up from the coral reef and just look at each other.
like, it's like, wait, did you do this? It's just like the best.
If you don't know the lore of that noise, we'll talk about it another time. But
what is the Genshin drama about?
It's literally apparently it's just like a bunch of like it'd be like, I hate Astacross. He's a piece of crap. I don't like him. And then Astacross is like, I hate Kakis, and I also hate Fallout. And then Fallout's like, well, Fallout's I hate like, True whoa. Vanguard.
It's a bunch of content creators like attacking each other now, and It was kind of like subtweet after subtweet and like, hey, like a lot of people calling out the Genshin community for being toxic. they're doing it. They're literally the ones that are toxic. It's kind of weird, like dot, dot, dot. And then it's like, oh, wait, who are you referencing? And it's like, oh, wait, what? And so it's escalated. And then it just turned into someone going, just... oh, by the way, yeah, I actually hate you. And I've always hated you. And like, I'm sick of having to tiptoe around you. And it just keeps getting worse. And
aren't they live streaming their reactions in real time to each other's comments?
Someone reacted. Okay, so someone made a video with the one person's tweet, and then that person reacted to the video of him reacting to the tweet. Whoa! And then he is now live streaming that reaction of the live stream.
Oh my.
It's like
what is this? Is this Fallout Plays content here? We're just reacting to things, man?
Reacting.
I'm going to start my own drama. I'm going to start my own drama. Oh my god, dude.
You make that joke because somebody told me, they're like, hey, Fallout's live right now reacting to the comments in your YouTube videos. Like, what? Yeah. That's hilarious.
Dude, the dude's smart. I mean, there's not much going on in Destiny. So Fallout's just like, what gun do you hate? And he's like, all right, see you in a week with a video.
That's right.
He's brilliant, honestly.
He's crushing it.
Honestly, I feel like gaming is just so dead right now. That there's nothing else to do. People are watching MasterChef. People are causing drama with each other because it's like,
we don't have anything to play. When I start streaming, I'm going to be sitting here like Truvanga with my leg. I'm going to be like XQC sitting like this. And then I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to watch. Like, I'm just going to look at tweets and just be like, what is this guy talking about? And I'm just gonna roast people.
You just got canceled. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to say everything twice.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
roast people's tweets, and then there's content. I'll get an editor to edit it for me. I don't even have to do anything. We're good, baby.
You know, the thing that's like, I think that is really frustrating. I'll say it. Everyone's gonna know. Asian guy, he kind of said today, he's like, I'm done tiptoeing around this. Like, these guys are the toxic ones. I'm gonna call it out, right? And the thing is with the subtweets and with the this is toxic and. I'll give one example because, you know, it happens all the time. Tectone, he'll say, oh, I'm going to go pick Mint. And he's using it to reference Enviosity. And it's like these little comments that they're not like necessarily attacking them that much in that moment, but it escalates. It keeps getting used. And then people attack those people. And it's just this like, it's this little spider that's been spinning a web and it's been getting worse and worse. And like, I think it's now coming to a head where it's just like, are you attacking me or are you not attacking me? Cause I'm sick of this. And like, it's just kind of crazy that how it's building up, but yeah. It has felt like a little toxic in the Genshin community. And I've been, you know, kind of tiptoeing around too. I don't want to poke the bear one way or the other. I swear from the start, I've tried to be nice to everyone and like, no, I mean, I confronted Tectone on stream about it. He came at me first, like he did, and I was like, "Fuck you, man!" Like I did. We clashed heads early on, and we kind of squashed it and stuff. But like, I've tried to be nice to like everyone right from the start, and you know, I think that I've got pretty good relationships. But like now, I'm wondering, like, is there this whole like conspiracy and like certain people hate certain groups, and like because I was talking to Tectone and being like. Friendly, are those people now against me? Like, I don't know. So I'm gonna like find out tonight. Like, what's the tea? I want to see what all the drama is.
The thing is, these big creators, they have to understand something.
Watch like, it if you watch it on stream, Tash. I'll watch your stream. I'm that interested in it.
Yeah,
if you react, I'll watch it.
Is it my turn now?
Yeah.
Okay. Relax.
Okay. So. The thing that creators have to remember is that when they make even just one small joke about somebody, they have influence. And so there's a large portion of their viewership that's going to latch onto that thing that they said. And it may just be a passing moment. You probably gave it little to no thought. But it's going to amplify. Because a portion of your viewership is now going to take that thing that you said and go over to that creator's stream or comment on their content. Because I heard this content creator say that Cactus's intros are really long and made a joke about it. Now I just latch on to that.
I'm
going to
make
truth.
A Reddit post.
That's truth now to me. And so it becomes a Reddit post or a comment on a YouTube video. And so it sends this ripple effect. it's really easy to think, okay, content creators have a lot of influence. They shouldn't care about what one person says. But let me just hit you with some truth. Content creators are people. And when one person says the right thing at the right time, it will get a reaction out of you because you are a human being and it makes you feel bad. And that's just the reality of it. And so things like this Genshin drama where so-and-so said something maybe even as a joke or just in passing, but then their community latched onto it and started regurgitating it as truth.
Yeah.
Hurts feelings, makes someone feel vindictive, reactive, defensive, perfectly natural feelings. It just creates this cycle. And so I think that people do have to understand that content creators, it just takes one person saying something to honestly, sometimes just to ruin your day. That's just the reality of it.
I think we all just need to be like, I'm just going to come up with a video and be like, I don't give a shit what you guys are doing. I'm making anime videos. And like, if you want to hang out, that's cool. But like, why are we all fighting? Like, let's grow up. I'm going to put on like my dad's suit and be like, come on, guys. Like, let's all be friends. But listen to this.
Breaking You'll news. Get roasted for doing that.
21 minutes ago, the guy I talked about calling him out, Atsu or Asian Guy Streams, he said, addressing all the drama and lies I've been seeing, all these straw man arguments and the twisting of words, narrative manipulation, etc. And it is a pity. I hope that this stream brings everything to a conclusion because I just want to be done with it. He just tweeted that like 20 minutes ago. He's streaming now. There's drama in the air.
Oh my God.
Let's rate him.
The thing is though, is like, you never know what one person is saying to another, who's DMing who and everything. And like, I messaged Tekton. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you what I see and why people are saying this stuff about you. And I've talked to Asian Guy, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that stuff about them. So like, I am in both camps. Cause like, I'm part of it. Like I want to know as well, did they do something in the DMs that I don't know about? Like, is there a really bad egg here that I don't know about? Because I don't want to be associated with them either. Right. So it's,
and you got to wonder though, there is an angle of like, drama is views.
It's easy views. It's the easiest views.
So you wonder if people are exaggerating things or dragging something on just because they know everyone's going to come and check out their content to see the latest drama update.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks for being here in our drama podcast, baby.
And we went mega late today with the main topics. So we probably won't do like a big after dark thing, but we genuinely appreciate y'all for being here, especially if you took the time to hit the like button on the stream.
Really good viewership today.
That
really
is
good
viewership. Super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please hit the like button so the algorithm doesn't bury us. That would be nice. And it's truly an insane week. And, you know, we're seeing gaming change forever from the Microsoft thing. And who expected that? Like, it was like early in the morning, it was like there's rumors. And then like an hour later, it was like, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, whew.
Are we going to call it there then? I think we covered everything pretty thoroughly.
I gotta pee so bad.
Get out of here then. Let's end it. Thank you so much for watching. This was episode number 70 of the RGH Real Gamer Hour podcast. I'm M-Tashed.
I'm Kagas HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
And we will see you next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Actually, no, we're not. We're going to be in Hawaii, maybe. We might skip next week, or we'll record it from Hawaii in the hotel room. We'll see.
If you can stream from a laptop randomly,
we'll like, have we to
can
see what the Wi-Fi is.
The jankest like setup, though. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be great quality, honestly. Dude, I mean, it's just a podcast.
Just like True Vanguard on one side and me and Tash with with Lay's on and eating chocolate macadamia nuts and a Mai Tai in each hand, baby.
It's shirtless.
Wait, it what? All depends if the shithole Canadian government can get me my passport by tomorrow or Friday. I'm sorry. Listen, guys, we're demonetized as heck because I'm so heated about this. So I'm sorry about that, but it is crazy. I'm just waiting for the mail to determine like this whole everything is okay.
Anyways, we'll see you about next week. Thanks for watching. Bye bye. Have a good day.
See you guys.
Bye everyone.